In our study of the Gospel according to John, we are continuing today in chapter 15. We want to cover quite a lengthy portion of this chapter, beginning at verse 12 and going to the end of the chapter. But before we read from the Scriptures, let us bow for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we acknowledge Thee again. It's Thy Word we are about to read. So we do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt help us to read Thy Word sincerely, and to come to an understanding of the truths that are there made known, and grant, our God, that those who are listening today to the message may be blessed, edified, that Thy name may be glorified. We ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now, in our last study, we were dealing with what we called the Christian's relation to Christ, showing that that relationship had been established. And then there were the results that we examined from that relationship when we abide in Christ. Today, we're going to look at a new relationship. It's the circle of friends and the bond of love. And then we shall look at our relationship to the world. Now, let us go down this passage verse by verse and see what we can learn from the truth that the Lord enunciated here. Remember, this was the last evening that He spent with His own disciples before that awful night in which He was betrayed and then finally crucified the next morning. Now then, He's speaking to them here, and in verse 12 He says, "This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are My friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of My Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, that He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Now let us examine these verses now, one at a time. In verse 12, we have the standard of love, "as I have loved you." Remember now, we're dealing here with a circle of friends and the bond of love, that binding bond that keeps friends together. Now, the standard of love to be seen exhibited between those friends is this: "as I have loved you." You remember we pointed out when dealing with chapter 13 that at the beginning of that chapter it says this, that the Lord Jesus, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end, or that means He loved them to the very uttermost. In spite of how His love was tried, He loved His own to the uttermost. Now, that was the expression of His love. Now, in that same chapter, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And He gave them the standard: "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So He laid down that principle in chapter 13. Now here again in chapter 15, the same standard is brought before us. "This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now one of the things that we stressed in our last study was this, that if one expects his prayers to be answered, then they must abide in Christ. And abiding in Christ means abiding in his love. And this is the standard. As he has loved us, so we are to love one another. And therefore, that is an essential thing if our prayers are to be answered. Now he sets it before us again here, as I have loved you. We ask the question, how did Christ love them? For that is the standard which is set for Christians to love one another as friends in the same circle. So you see, dear listening friend, today, the standard is set very high. Just as Christ expressed his love towards me as a sinner, just as I see the expression of God's love to me when he gave his Son to die on the cross, and the Lord's expression of love when, having loved his own, he loved them to the very uttermost, went all the way to Calvary for them, there is the love, the standard that we have got to express to one another. Surely, though, it takes us a little bit further, for in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now here we have love and life brought together in verse 13. In the opening 11 verses, as we considered in a past study, there it was a question of life, the life of Christ being expressed through the believer and producing that fruit in the life. But now, here it is the love of the Lord Jesus, and that love is to be expressed in the life of the believer. And it's a greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now then, here is the sacrifice of love. Lay down his life for his friends. Here we have both motive and example, because Christ loved us. And he loved us to the very uttermost. And he loved us to such an extent that he gave himself for us. And so we emphasize that great truth again. Now if Christ has loved me when there was nothing lovable about me, and he loved me to the very uttermost, perhaps even when I failed him, like Peter, and then he gave himself for me, surely if Christ has loved me, in that sacrificial way, it's the least I can do is seek to love others in that sacrificial way. Are we prepared to lay down our life for our friends? Now, may I suggest to you, that doesn't simply mean willing to be a martyr and go into death. It's a matter, am I willing to give my life for the benefit of those whom I profess to love? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Most of us, perhaps, are inclined to live our lives for our own benefit. But according to this verse, sacrificial love would be manifested in a life that is lived for the benefit of others. I mean, after all, we've to consider others. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. That is real joy. And remember in verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So joy is Jesus first, others next, and yourself last of all. Here is sacrificial love, or if you like, the sacrifice of love. But now in verse 14, we have the society of love. Ye are my friends. Those who obey his commandments are his friends. And this is the greatest society in existence today. It carries with it a privilege beyond estimate. He said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I wonder, my friend, when you think of this today, what does the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? I had a good friend of mine who was in charge of a certain city mission. And he used to have a little tract, and the title of that little booklet was this, Do You Know My Friend? And he would hand that out to different people when opportunity afforded itself, and that was the title, Do You Know My Friend? Now, therefore, I would ask each one listening to me today, Do you know my friend? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, He's my friend. And He says, Ye are my friends. What a wonderful thing for the Lord Jesus Christ to call us His friends. You know, a great number of people like to claim friendship with those who are in places of authority, or those who are in places of prominence. And they love to say, you know, I know so-and-so or so-and-so. Well, that may be all right. I've also had my pictures taken with some outstanding men. But what does that mean in life? After all, the greatest friendship we can have in life is to be one of the friends of the Lord Jesus. And if I am His friend, then His friends are my friends. He said, Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And I say this to my listening audience today. Here is the society of love. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, we are His friends. Therefore, we are friends to one another. The sad, sad feature is that professing Christians do not always express this friendship as they should. Nevertheless, here is the greatest society on earth. This is a made up of those who are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore friends of one another. It's a privilege beyond estimate. But let us go a little further than that. Verse 15 sets before us the secrets of love. It says, Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, it's a wonderful thing if we can be considered His servants. What a blessed calling to be able to do some service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what service you are engaged in, but if you are a Christian and you love the Lord, then you ought to be engaged in some kind of service. There are so many different things that people can do in service for the Lord. But there's something more than service here. And there's something more than being a servant. It's a wonderful thing to be a servant, but here's something higher than that. He says, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. I'm simply going to call you friends. For the simple reason, all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Here now we have the secrets of love. All things I've heard of my Father I've made known to you. A master can command a servant without giving any explanation. You see, the master can come along to the servant and he can say, I want you to do this job, and I want you to do it in this manner. This is the way I want it done, and I'll be back in a certain time to see what the finished job is like. Now, the servant doesn't stop and say to the master, now, why do you want it done like this? Well, you explain. He doesn't need to explain. The master gives the command, and it's the servant's job to obey without question. But now, a friend, oh, that's different. To a friend, he can reveal the secrets of the heart. And he can reveal his secrets with perfect confidence. He takes his friend into his confidence and reveals to him his secrets, not only what he's about to do, but why he's about to do it. You see, my friend, we've been lifted far above the level of being servants. A servant of the Lord is a wonderful calling. It's a great privilege to be allowed to serve Him. But He is something far greater, to be considered one of His friends. Just like John, who leaned on the Savior's breast, and the Savior was able to confide in John and tell John some of the secrets. Here is the secret of love. He whom the Savior loved, and he who loved the Savior, entered into the secrets of the Savior's things. So here we are no longer servants, we're raised to the level of friends. In verse 16, I suggest we have the satisfaction of love. When there is abiding fruit, then there will be answered prayer. We've learned that from a previous lesson. Here it's brought out again. It is clear that the choice of the Lord had in view the producing of fruit, which would bring satisfaction to God the Father. He says, ye have not chosen me. You see, the foundational thing here, the primary thing here is, I have chosen you. Not only have I chosen you, but I've ordained you. A lot of people use this word ordained or the word ordination in a different sense altogether from what it's used in this verse. He's speaking here of his friends. And if you're one of his friends, listen to what he's saying to you. He said, I chose you to be my friend. It wasn't a matter of you choosing me. I loved you. John, you know, learned this. John says we love him because he first loved us. Here's the same thing again. I have chosen you and have sent you forth. I have ordained you. What to do? That you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. It's to be abiding. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. See, here again, with the satisfaction of love. There's the choice of the Lord, that is clear. There's the producing of the fruit, and it brings satisfaction to God the Father. Here's a life being lived in the true spirit of the life of Christ, and the love of Christ flowing through that person is producing that fruit in the life which is answerable to the life that has been given, and so therefore the Father is glorified in this. Now then, verse 17 is the summation of love. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Here again he comes back on the command, that ye love one another. Remember what I emphasized when we were dealing with chapter 13, and quoted it again today, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So he brings us to this critical point once more, and he says, I command you that ye love one another. Here's the summation then of this love. He again emphasizes the need to love one another on the standard as he has loved us, emphasizing again the need for the encouragement of love amongst Christians. But then, the Christian is still in the world. We've learned from this chapter what we are. We have learned what we do. And now we've to learn something about what we say. It's got to do now with our witness. Verse 18, you have the continuous hatred of the world. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. See, the world had demonstrated its hatred to Christ, and the world would continue to show the same hatred to all those who would confess his name. They hated Christ without a cause. They got men in from the street to give false witness against him. Ultimately, they put him on a cross. They said, we don't want this man to reign over us. Now, if the world hated the Master, and if the world hated my friend, I can expect the world to hate me. If I take my stand for Christ, then they hated him, they'll hate me. They'll continue to show the same hatred to all those who confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Christian church was in Jerusalem, where it commenced, while there broke out there this antagonism against them, this hatred against them, this persecution against them, and the persecution that came upon the church in Jerusalem scattered the Christians abroad. Look at the cause of the world's hatred in verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See, he says, I have chosen you out of the world. If one follows the pattern of the world and indulges in the things of the world, then the world will love you and praise you. But the moment you stand in separation from the world, then you will be hated. You try it today. Stand for truth. Speak your peace against all the sin and the iniquity and the immorality that's prevalent today. Speak your peace against that which even the law allows today, which is against God's word. And you'll very soon find that you'll be hated by the world. You'll be hated by those who indulge in these things. But you go on with them, and you indulge in them the same as them, and they love you. But you see, the man who loves the Lord will take his stand with the Lord. In this world, the Lord was rejected. His disciples in the early days were rejected. And those who follow the teachings of Christ today are still rejected by the world. So therefore, we have the cause of the world's hatred. That is, when you take your stand against their sin and their iniquity today. Look at verse 20. There is the certainty of the world's hatred. Verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Here is the certainty of the world's hatred. They will also persecute you. The treatment that was given the Master will also be given to all those who follow him and seek to serve him. But notice the confusion of the world's hatred in verse 21. "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." They'll get that very clear. They'll do all those things. Why will they do them? For my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. Here's the confusion of the world's hatred. This hatred will be the outcome of ignorance, as they don't know God. The world, by its wisdom, hasn't found God. By all its scientific advances, has never come any nearer to God. The world today is rocked to sleep in the cradle of sin. They don't know God. And because of their ignorance of God, because of their ignorance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of their ignorance of the salvation that the Christian enjoys, they go on in their confusion. And since they hated Christ, they're going to continue to hate you. But look at verse 22. Here we have the condemnation of the world's hatred. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." The condemnation of the world's hatred. The world stands condemned because Christ proved his deity by the works he performed, but they refuse to believe on him. Their cloak of hypocrisy has been stripped from them. They stand like Adam did in the garden, naked before God, and his sin revealed. As Adam stood condemned, then the world stands condemned today, because the word of God reveals the Christ of God. The way of salvation has been made plain. Look now in these closing verses, the charge against the world for its hatred. It was rebellion against God in every possible way. Verses 23 to 25. "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Now the Christian then says, "Now what am I to do in the world? Is there nothing to comfort me?" Yes. The closing two verses show us the comforting spirit and the faithful witnesses. "But when the Comforter is come, my friend, you have the Holy Spirit present, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you as a comforter. He says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness." We have to be witnesses in the world, because you have been with me from the beginning.